Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, thy name shall be praised. We welcome you to Blog Talk Radio, Divine Connection. Thanking God for every day that the Lord has made, giving glory, praise, and honor unto him. We also celebrate Jesus today for the time that's been set up for to recognize our soldiers and armed forces and all those that work behind the scenes for this Memorial Day. In the name of Jesus, we bless God. We are trying to find out what is going on with our system. Praise the Lord. But we believe it is well, no matter what it looks like for the moment. But I just want to thank God for he is worthy. Thank God for those that have given their lives and those that are on the front line, those that are behind the scenes, and those that are standing, glory to God, and on guard and watchmen for our country. And for those, glory to God, that are administrative and all other kind of fields that we've been serving for looking at this memorial. Praise God, this Memorial Day, in the name of Jesus. We give God glory because he is worthy. Just want to thank him because he's so awesome. There is none like him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be praised. We bless the Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on you so we can worship and praise you and magnify you and hold on to our joy and hold on to our peace and rebuking the forces of the enemy that come to rob, steal, and to kill and destroy. But help us, glory to God, to celebrate you like we never have before. He is an awesome God. It's on now. Praise the Lord. We see the name. We bless God. I just want to thank him for this opportunity that we get together again. Not only just for prayer, but every second and fourth Sunday, we get together so that we can hear the word of God through the ministers of the gospel, through preaching and teaching and reaching to minister and breaking the bread of life. Praise the Lord. We ask God to continue to give us that mindset to worship him and hold on to his promise and not waver, not allow doubt and unbelief to come in, but let that word saturate and cleanse us and reveal himself to us. And your word already let us know that you said man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And one thing it is, we just can't be preaching and teaching the word and not living it, because what's making the difference is the kind of fruit that's going to be on that tree, because God's looking at our heart, and the kind of heart is it pure? But he said it's only pure in heart's going to see him. So we're standing on the promises of the Lord, and believe him as the word comes forth, and it's making a difference in our lives and transforming us and giving us a mindset like never before to get our roots even deeper and get in a stronger relationship with him. And that light shining the more as we be an example of being a light through our commitment and our obedience, that we can be able to reach out, as the word of God told Peter, when you've been converted and you strengthen your brother, that we can reach out and be a blessing to others. Thanking God tonight. Praise God for this is a night that, as Mother McCormick was assigned to come forth as the Lord bless and direct her tonight, but also her daughter, the Lord had put a word in her spirit about a few weeks ago. So we're believing God. My sister introduced her and gave, she have a couple of words of exhortation before she comes forth. Then we're going to release our sister in Christ that we've been praying for and believing God for great things for her life. That as the Lord bless, and she opened her heart and allowed the Spirit of the Lord to download what is needed for the body, and as he's dropping that in her spirit and prepared her for this time, we believe in that it's a work being done as we receive the word for the body. God's doing a work in us, so I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will she allow the Spirit of the Lord to bring her to that next place of exaltation, to bring her to the next level. In the meantime, without further ado, I'm trying to have some things going on in the background myself, And so I had to just do a little rush there all of a sudden. So I'm going to, I'm trying to remember what scripture this was that I was going to read. And then I'm going to read, say a prayer and release it over into Mother McCormick's evangelist hands and let the Lord bless and lead her whichever direction in those few words that he gives her and releases back over into her daughter's hands. Amen. Bless the Lord. Okay, I'm going to use one of these scriptures here. Psalms 46 and 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. That's not the one I thought it was. Praise the Lord. So we're going to read also 27 Psalms and 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Help us all, Lord, to always wait on you and be encouraged. No matter how the enemy try to provoke or cause us to be antsy, help us to humble down, buckle down, and trust you, glory to God, because the only way for us to have faith, we don't have to be able to wait. They work hand in hand. It's like scrambled eggs. We can't unscramble. That's the way it ought to be in something like when we have our faith in the Lord and say we're going to wait because we can't have faith, and then say we can't wait. And in the meantime, we give God glory and praise. Father, we bless you for this day. We give you glory and honor, because you are the God of our salvation, the author and the finisher of our faith. There is none like you. We look to the hills which come as our help, and we realize our help coming from you. Help us not to waver, allow doubt or unbelief or anything to interfere in this relationship with you, so that we can be able to be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We give reverence unto Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Deliverer, our Healer, our Father, which art in heaven. We give you glory and praise, God. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for favor. We thank you for this new day. We thank you with a mindset to live for you, to want to live right, to want to live holy, to want to do your will, God. We're asking you, Lord, to forgive us for every shortcoming, every transgression, anything that comes up in our lives that's contrary to your will. Help us, God, to be able to stand and have the courage to annihilate that, put it to flight, and crucify this flesh that you may be glorified. Help us to be an example and a light on that hill in the name of Jesus. And God, help us to remember what you said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to walk in love, the agape, and walk, glory to God, in truth. Walk, glory to God, in forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight for your servant as they come forth, God, that you will bless them. We thank you that the word is already anointed. Anoint them, God, and as they hear your voice, help them to speak and decree and declare what thus saith the Lord. Don't waver to the left or the right, glory to God. They'll be steadfast and allow you, glory to God, to have your way. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God, help us to walk in the loving kindness of you and discernment, glory to God, to operate daily in this walk on this journey. We give you glory, praise, and honor. Believing you for healing, deliverance, and encouragement, enlightenment, financial blessing, spiritual blessing, whatever it may be. Bind up every satanic and demonic force that will come against this prayer, come against them, come against us, and come against the prayer warriors as we stand steadfast on the wall with a mind to work and obedient to the work. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, we bless you. And at this time, praise God, we're going to allow Mother McCormick to come on, praise God, and as the Lord bless her. Not sure whether she's on her home line or is she on her 910 line. Are you on the home line? Mother McCormick, are you on the home line? Okay, evidently she didn't answer. Mother McCormick, are you on this line?
Hello?
Which line
can you hear
are you
me?
On? 910? Are you on your cell
line? I'm on the cellar. I'm on my cellar line and my daughter's on the home phone.
Okay, I want to know which line to open. Okay, then. All right, then. At this time, it's turned over to you, and then you can, after you speak or whatever God's given you or share or just introduce, then we're going to give it to you to introduce your daughter, and then from then on that she can speak and let her know, well, I'm going to let her know, has no, she can hear me, that you have, the line is open, so you got plenty of time. It'll take an hour, take 30 minutes, whichever one is you choose. You have time and liberty to move as God gives you to you, okay? All right.
Okay.
The Lord bless
All right. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank Sister Hubbard for calling, you know, for letting us be on the phone tonight. And I just want to thank God for all the prayer warrior that came on tonight. And I just want to give one stretch before I introduce my daughter. I want to read Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse, where it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to complete at the day of Jesus Christ." So I was just thinking of that stretch today. He that begun a good work in us shall complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And so now I just want to introduce to some and present to others my baby daughter, Catherine, that she wanted to speak on tonight, that she had a word from the Lord that she wanted to give on tonight, and pray and believe in God is able to use her in the way that he sees fit, in the name of Jesus. So I present Catherine with the word of God right now in Jesus' name.
Good evening. I'm going to start off with a small prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift my plans up to you for this day. Please lead me by your spirit and direct me in the way I should go. Whoever has an ear, let them hear, but not only hear, but let them listen. So have your way and speak through me. Amen. My topic is, are you running from God? My subtopic is, what's your assignment? So my topic is, are you running from God? My subtopic is, what's your assignment? Before I get started, I would like to build my foundation. God speaks to us in many ways. His word, nature, people, circumstance, peace, wisdom, supernatural intervention, dreams, and visions. But the world makes it easy for us to drown out the voice of God and push him to the background of our lives. In 1 John 2:17, "And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passion desires, the lust of it, but he who does the will of God and carries out his purpose in his life abides, remains forever." In the NIV Bible, Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways submit," means to humble yourself. So submit yourself to him and he will make your path straight. In the Amplified Bible, Proverbs 3:6 said, "In all your ways know, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plan your path." So please turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. That's where I'm going to be coming from today, the book of Jonah. Jonah was a rebel that God used. Rebel is someone who fights authority or forms a resistance against. Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament. The book of Jonah consists of 4 short chapters, and a lot of people associate the book of Jonah with the big fish, or should I say the big whale. They believe the story is about the whale, but it's about so much more. In verse 2, chapter 1, Jonah, the prophet of God, gives him a word. Verse 2, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound by the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, we are looking at a rebel here, a man who didn't like what God has told him to do. Has God ever said something to you and you didn't like it? Now, God has asked Jonah to do something that was impossible for him to believe. Now, for him to believe, he wants to explain why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. There were two reasons why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Now, the Ninevites were the people of Nineveh, and they showed no mercy to their enemies. This meaning, you can think about some of the countries now that don't show mercy to enemies. They kill their enemies, and they just do whatever, you know, torture them. So this Nineveh was a place like that. He knew that if he went there, he could possibly be tortured and be killed. Now, Jonah is questioning God and trying to figure out why God would want him to go to a place where they kill people. So he's saying to himself, there's no way God wants me to go to Nineveh to talk to them. He felt like the people were so bad there, he should just judge them and kill them. So Jonah, being a man of God, he didn't really have mercy on them. He wanted God to go ahead and judge them and kill them. He didn't care about whatever God had to say. He didn't want to go. So he just said, you know, he made up his mind that God really didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't going to go to Nineveh. So now the second reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh was he was scared that they might actually get saved and God wouldn't judge them. Now, he didn't want this to happen because the Ninevites was the enemies of where he's from. He's a Hebrew, so they were the enemies, and so he didn't want them to be saved. So Nineveh was the mission. Jonah was the chosen vessel to be used by God to carry out his message. Now, we know that God's a spirit, and God needs a human being to relay his message to people and give his word to them. So Jonah was this vessel that God wanted to use to carry out his message because Nineveh was a corrupt city. God assigned Jonah to carry out his message to deliver his word to the people of Nineveh. But how many of you know God's mission isn't about you? It's about the people attached to your obedience. Your harvest is initiated and seeded through your obedience. But like Jonah, there's probably people that wish some people wouldn't get saved because if they get saved, they would have to deal with them in heaven. Because they know that, you know, the things that they went through with these people on earth, that if they get to heaven, they feel like they're going to go through the same thing. So Jonah, like these people, didn't deserve saving. He didn't think they deserved saving. So in order for these things not to come true, Jonah just made up his mind that he wasn't going to do it. In fact, he decided to go the other direction and run from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah should know better. He's a prophet. He knows that God is everywhere, and he can't flee from him. But he's running from God's demand. When I say he's running from the presence of God, he knows he can't leave God because he knows he's everywhere. But what Jonah is doing, he's running from God's demand, God's request that he has asked of him. Now, Jonah didn't believe his plan as a prophet was to speak to godless people like the people in Nineveh. In his running, Jonah revealed his true heart. Now, he loved God, planned for his life as long as it was comfortable. But as soon as God's plans took him out of his bubble and into a place where he would be tested, he couldn't handle that type of pressure. So he ran away. He rejected God's plan and decided to make his own plan. So he was so determined to leave the place that he was so determined that the place he was supposed to go, which was Nineveh, was 550 miles by land. And the place he was traveling to which, as you will see, is Tasha, is 2,500 miles by sea in the other direction. So he would rather be 2,500 miles out of the will of God than 550 miles in his will. So he is running from the presence of God, meaning he's running from the will of God. There might be people right now running from the presence of God. God has given you a word that he has told you, or he's given you a word to give to somebody, but you didn't give it to that person, or you didn't follow through with that word because you thought you didn't like it. And that word could be just what will make a difference in someone's life, but you are running from your assignment. There's some people, when they get upset with God, they stop going to church because they don't want to even put themselves in a position to hear the word or to be reminded of it. So they just stop going to church altogether so they won't be in God's presence. In verse 3, it says, Jonah had to pay a fare to run from God. Now, when you are in God's will, he will put up the tab. But when you are out of God's will, you will incur some fees. So running from God will cost you. It could cost you money. It could cost you health. It could cost you peace. It could cost you joy. It could cost you happiness. It could cost you unity. But either way, it will cost you something that you must pay. God's will cost you nothing. In verse 4, it says, Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible, just to let y'all know. So, now the storm only came because Jonah was rebelling and running from God. So God sent the storm to come after him. So know, when you are out of the will of God, the storm is going to come. In verse 5, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Now, the sailors threw their cargo off the ship to make it lighter. Now, this is how the sailors made a living. This is how they fed their family, by going port to port and trading cargo. And because Jonah is rebelling, they just lost their cargo because they're trying to make the ship lighter because of the storm, because they felt like it was about to break. But what we need to understand is when we rebel or when we run from God, it affects not only us but the people around us. In verse 6, the captain went to him and said, How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. So the captain is trying to figure out, how can this man be in the bottom of the ship and go to sleep, and the storm, and there's a storm like this, and the boat is about to break up? He knew something wasn't right. In verse 7, and they each said to one another, Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. So at this point, they're probably, I can imagine that they're standing there all on a boat, and they're looking at him, and they're like, So you mean to tell me, you make the sea, you worship the God that made the sea and dry land? So at this time, they're terrified because they know that he has done something terribly wrong because God is after him. Now, they were very afraid, because now they know the storm is because Jonah is running from God, and they don't know what to do because they don't want to die. In chapter 11, it says, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know this is my fault and that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. So now they didn't want to become murderers. They didn't want to throw Jonah in the sea and kill an innocent man. They didn't want that to be the solution to the problem. We see that Jonah is so far out of the will of God, he's willing to commit suicide. He would rather die in the sea than go to Nineveh. So you will see, as we keep reading, Jonah was troubled, because it seems like every other chapter he wants to die. So he has some real issues that he needed to deal with. So at the end of the chapter 1, there was some turbulence, as you see in the water. And, you know, they eventually threw him overboard, and then the sea got calm. So there was turbulence, and I just want to know, are you experiencing turbulence in your life? The turbulence you may be experiencing could be a result of your disobedience. Simply repent, embrace the original assignment, and go forth in peace. The emotional, the financial, the physical, and even mental turbulence you're facing could be a sign to redirect your affairs. In chapter 2, chapter 2 is about Jonah's prayer. Even in Jonah's disobedience, God appointed a fish to preserve him. God didn't leave Jonah out in the sea to die. So when it says God appointed anything, that means God has spoken to that animal or that circumstance. So God appointed this fish. Now, there's a lot of fish, there's a lot of whales, there's a lot of things in the sea. So any of those could have came and got Jonah. But if any other fish that wasn't appointed got Jonah, he would have been eaten. But God appointed this fish to go and preserve Jonah, meaning to keep him safe so he wouldn't die. So God didn't leave Jonah out in the sea to die. So at this point, chapter 2 is very short. It's just talking about Jonah praying, and he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. So Jonah prayed and repented, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. So like God, he didn't leave Jonah out in the sea to die. He's calling for you to make a decision. Your fish may not look like the fish, prepared for Jonah. It may come in another form. God may have told you to start a business or write a book or build a ministry, but out of your fear, disobedience, or discomfort, you chose to run away from your calling and you settled for something else. So as you wait in the belly of your fish, God is giving you time to repent and answer his call. And I'm also speaking to myself. In chapter 3, Jonah goes to Nineveh. Verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And so the good thing about this is God repeats himself. So he'll tell you one time, and then he will give you another opportunity and tell you again, so you can make your decision. So he will repeat himself. That's the good thing. Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So he goes to Nineveh, and when he gets there, he's supposed to give them the message God has given him, which is point out their sins and call them to repentance and tell them their destruction is near, which will happen in 40 days. So he's going up and down the city with this message. I'm thinking the message would be something like this. If you don't repent and change, Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. If you don't repent and change, Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. If you don't repent and change, Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. So he's going up and down the city of Nineveh, trying to give this message to the people, telling them if you don't repent and change, Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. The bad news is Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days, but the good news is they can reverse it. They have time to change. They have 40 days. So today there's an opportunity for repentance for you, because one day we will be judged just like the people of Nineveh. In chapter 4, it talks about, well, let me go back to chapter 3, I'm sorry. In chapter 3, verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. So he went back and forth saying that message, and the Ninevites believed the message that was given to Jonah from God. So a fast were proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah warned and reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh by the declares of the king and his nobles. Do not let people or animal, herbs or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that he will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on the destruction he had threatened. So the people of Nineveh repent and, you know, turn from their evil ways. And even the king even made them put sackcloth on the animals, and he made sure that no one ate. So the animals didn't eat, they didn't drink, so everybody was repenting, and he wanted the whole city to be cleansed. Now, let's note that God's word the second time didn't change from his word the first time. So in the chapter 4, Jonah gets angry with God because not one, not two, and not three, but the whole city got saved at the same time and repented, even down to the animals. The king wouldn't let them eat or drink, like I said before, because he covered them in sackcloth. So he made sure that everything in the city was pure. Who would have thought a simple message from God would save a whole city? And on chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, it says, "But it displeases Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray you, O Lord, is not this just what I said when I was still in my country? That is why I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And when sinners turn to you and meet your conditions, you revoke the sentence of evil against them. Therefore now, O Lord, beseech you, take my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Here we go again. Jonah's wanting to die again. Like I said, every other chapter he wants to die. So there's something really wrong with Jonah, and for some reason he has a death wish. So he keeps saying he wants to die. So he would rather die than see the people of Nineveh saved and support them. And he's supposed to be the man of God. But this message shows you the most evil men or people can be changed. You never know what God is doing on the inside of a person. But we are silent on the outside and don't open up our mouths to give people his word because we think they're a lost cause. In verse 4, God asked Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry? So now Jonah's really mad because he's being questioned again by God. So he goes to the east of the city and he finds him some shade and just sat and watched what would happen next in the city. So I can picture him sitting off to the east under some shade, and he's looking down on Nineveh, and he's just waiting for them to turn back or backslide and go back to their evil ways because he thinks that they're so bad that this possibly cannot continue. So this is just something that he's just waiting to see it all fall apart. And I'm going to read verse 6. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chews the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Again, there he go again, talk about he wanted to die. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Is it, he said, and am I so angry I wish I could die? So Jonah's saying to God, God's asking him, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah is saying, it is, and I'm so angry, I wish I was dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprung up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? And God saw the works of that. And he wanted them, and he knew that they were going to turn from their evil ways. So in this message, you see that God, he keeps messing with Jonah, and he was going to keep messing with him until he grew up spiritually. We get upset about things that don't matter and we don't get upset about things that do matter in our lives. So God had to teach Jonah a lesson by appointment. He appoints a storm. He appoints a great fish. He appoints a plant. He appoints a worm to kill the plant. He appoints a scorching wind to beat down on Jonah's head. So maybe some of the things that is happening in your life today is God appointments to get your attention. Now, it's not just a bad day or a negative situation. In the last two verses, God was trying to tell Jonah to stop being selfish and stop just worrying about himself. Because as long as God was taking care of him, he was happy. But as soon as he started taking care of someone else, he was upset. So God felt as if Jonah didn't have his heart. The story of Jonah don't end here. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 38. So the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 38. I'm going to read 38 through 41. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered, a wicked and adultery generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of a prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with the generation and condemn it, for they repent at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Now, in closing, Jesus said, so y'all want me to show you a sign. I've been doing miracles. I made a blind man see, but that wasn't enough. They wanted something else. He knew at that point they weren't looking for a sign, just another reason to reject him. But he said, I will give you one more sign. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, I will be in the belly of the earth. And when Jonah came out, he brought out repentance in Nineveh. Things changed. But when I come out of the earth, a greater than Jonah is here. So the good news for you and I is that he's not a rebellious, that Jonah was a rebelling preacher. And if he could change a whole city by preaching the word of God, how much change can Jesus bring about when there's no rebellion and he's the perfect Son of God, the perfect Savior who has risen from the dead? Jonah didn't even die. He was just in the belly of the fish. Jesus Christ died and was buried and arose. So if Jonah can turn Nineveh around, I know Jesus Christ can turn you around. If Jonah can do all that as messed up as he was, how much more can Jesus Christ do? He can do so much more in your life. So Jesus Christ can change you because a greater than Jonah is here. It's not too late for you to repent. That's it. Thank you for your time.
I know this lovely lady. What a powerful word. Are you finished already?
I am. Sorry. I'm finished.
Are you finished already?
Yes.
Oh, that was dynamic. Praise God. I bless the Lord for the word and that you heard God and opened your heart to be able to hear what he had to say and deliver to the body of Christ. It was a rich word. It's a familiar teaching, but in the meantime, you brought out some great points that was just a blessing that caused us, even as seniors in the gospel, as we grew, all growing, but even in that, it was just stirring. And sometimes it word to turn back around and refortify, or just sometimes we have to be refreshed and revived sometimes with things we hear. But I am so proud of you. I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I can talk a long time, but I bless the Lord for the word. It was dynamic. You brought out some great points. You followed, you know, all the way from the beginning of opening up who Jonah was, all the way down to the point of what should have been expected of him, but also the details about what was in his heart. But in the meantime, we bless God for at the end of it anyway, God still got glory. So I'm going to open the line so that way the other ministers can be able to have some response, because like I said, I can get long winded. But I bless the Lord for your obedience and how the Spirit of the Lord did deal with you concerning the word, and it was rich teaching, and I definitely enjoyed it. I praise God. It's wonderful when you can hear a word, and then it'll leave you with longing for some more. It just leave you right at that point where, oh, my God, it's more to this. So that's a blessing to be able to minister and have people having a desire to want to hear more. Praise God. In the meantime, give me a moment, you all, until I open the lines. So, the other ministers and whoever else is on the line can have a response tonight. We bless God again for God. I pray you continue to bless her, encourage her, strengthen her, that she continue to open her mouth and be bold and allow the Lord to stir up those gifts the more, because even the word that has been spoken over her life, even as her mother said, from a child, and even as through life, that you bless her now at that appointed time that she's allowing you to have free reign. So I pray there'll be many more doors and opportunities, and when the doors open, that she will not draw back, that she will yield and avail herself, especially in these last days when it's so imperative and important to win souls because of all the different things that are going on and the horrific things the enemy is doing. So we got to be on our post. So I pray a stirring of a fire of a desire for more of you. Keep her covered up in the blood. Bless her. Keep her healed and whole in her family and loved ones. Thank you, Lord God, for the priestess in the house too, her mother. But at this time, the lines are open for any remarks to anyone that will have a desire to
praise the Lord, Pastor. Praise the Lord, Pastor. I enjoyed that word tonight. That word was for me. I thank and praise God for the woman of God, because what I got out there was one point she brought out is how many times are we going to run from God? And then also she bring out another point that today we have the opportunity of repenting, and also the things that are happening in our life is God getting our attention. So I just thank God for that word, because a lot of times I'm speaking for me. I let fear or intimidation stop me from doing the things that God has put my hand to do, because I feel that I'm not qualified or somebody is better than I am. But I thank God, because she opened my eyes that I'd have to get out here and speak the word what God has for me to speak, and speak it boldly. Don't run away from what God has for you to do. So I thank you, and I encourage her to keep on bringing forth the word as God gave it to her to bring forth.
That was marvelous. Praise God. So that's it. When you listen to God and do what he say do, he will even bring the fruit forth to manifest to, what he say do. So bless God. Any other ones? Praise God. That as the Lord bless, and once finished, you can just go ahead and share whatever God placed on your heart. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just enjoyed that, as it was like a good scrumptious plate of delicious food, and I mean it was well presented, and I appreciate you, little sister Catherine, for what you brought forth. It's a mighty word of God, and it's some good message, a good message in the book of Jonah. I like your subject, and I like how you gave a subtopic. Are you running from God, and what's your assignment? Praise God, hallelujah. And I like what you said, how God speaks to us in many ways. We just have to have our ears open to hear what he's saying, praise God. praise God. And it's, you said God uses people. And I love that, because at my church, my pastor, in teaching us inductive Bible study, he lets us know that God, first of all, is not in a hurry, and he uses people. And sometimes we don't realize how important that is. God is who he is, and he can do things on his own, but he created us for a purpose, praise God, and he does use us. And a lot of time is simply to speak out what he says for us to speak. He's given us a word, praise God, and we can encourage somebody. We can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that Jonah was a perfect example of somebody running from the assignment that he had on his life. So I think you brought out that was so beautiful. And when you're running from your assignment, I put a little note, that means that you're not being obedient to God. And if we want to get somewhere in Christ, praise God, we've got to be obedient to him, praise God. If we believe God, it leads us to obeying him, praise him. And you said running from God will cost you. And now that's the truth. And I was telling somebody today, I was asking them how a young lady is doing, and he said, well, she's struggling. I said, well, you know, the scripture said the way of a transgressor is hard. And if you're not going to do and be obedient, praise God, and not do, you know, even in regular life, you're not going to pull your share. You're looking at some struggles in your life. Praise God. But especially if God has a call on your life, and you know what was interesting, I ain't going to do no re-preaching, but I enjoyed this so much, and I was just taking notes as you was speaking, praise God. But a lot of times, praise God, when we disobedient and running from God, it is going to cost us. It ain't going to cost God anything, because what God tells us, his will for our life is so much better than our own will. So it's more better to surrender, put your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender all unto you and what you tell me that I need to do. And the thing about it, and I like what Sister Brenda said, she said a lot of times fear. You know, if you're in fear, you're not in obedience. You're not in faith, praise God. So either you're not really in love, because if you're in the love walk, you're not going to be in fear, because perfect love does what? Cast out fear, praise God. So we must, hallelujah, take a look at that, and we have to put the spotlight on ourselves and say, Lord, look here, help me out, because I don't want to miss out on anything that you have for me, praise God. But the fact that we run or we disobey when God gives us assignment, he tells us to encourage that person with his word. Give that person $5. Do this for that person, you know. And when we be rebellious, we're running from God. My Lord, what amazing message that you have given tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want the wrath of God to fall on me because of my hard-headed disobedience. And why people want to go through struggles instead of simply give up to God, because God ain't got nothing bad for you. He's like a wonderful parent, best parent you ever want to have, because a good parent wants the very best for their children, praise God. So I'm saying a whole lot, praise God, but that's how I enjoyed this good plate of food you have given me. It's been a blessing to my soul today, praise God. So, and I love that. So, and I thank and praise God how you said, we still, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, look at how much I got, praise God. When Jonah was in the belly of the fish, praise God, you know what? That was giving him time to repent. When we in certain situations, it's not comfortable, because it couldn't have been comfortable in that fish. When we're out of order, disobedient, not doing what we've been assigned to do, we're going to be in an uncomfortable situation. We're going to go through some situations because, like you said, it's a cost when you disobey God and run from him. And you're going to be in uncomfortable. But it's in that uncomfortable situation, it's an opportunity. Praise God. It's an opportunity for repentance and to turn back to the Lord and do what he has called us to do, praise God. We'll be better off for it. Apparently, I said enough. But I thank and praise God for you, little Catherine. God bless you, Sister McCormick, for bringing her up. Praise Jesus, to know who Jesus is for herself. Glory be to God. Bless you, my dear. God bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I thank God for using the young sister tonight. And it was so good to hear her, because we learned from Jonah that you cannot run from the Lord. And in the book of Jonah, he learned you mercy, because that's what Jonah missed. He couldn't understand why God wanted him to go and do what he tell him to do to Nineveh, that city of Nineveh. But you see, to the end, Jonah realized mercy, no matter what the situation is, must always remember that mercy. Because look what happened to him. He turned around and prayed to God. And a lot of us have to realize that sometimes when you fall, you say, oh, Lord, you're not going to want to see, I can't do nothing. God is don't see, I'm not worthy. But you've got to remember this. Our Heavenly Father is merciful. He's merciful. And I thank God the way the young sister brought that out tonight, because it was a good message she brought. Thank God for using her tonight. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I just want to thank my daughter for that word, because I tell you, it was good. We've been talking about it off and on ourselves, about Jonathan, and I just learned some stuff my own self about Jonah. I thought about Jonah, how he was didn't realize that God could change his mind about those people. Now that he was upset because he, after he went and did what he had to do, and he got upset because God changed his mind about about Nella and stuff. So that's the way I thought about people. They how they change their mind when they may pray about somebody and not intention wanting them to change, but just doing it, just to be doing it. And after God done changed them and they don't begin to outdo them, they get kind of slow in what they're doing. They kind of get a little ahead of them. And then they get mad. They get upset because of what God has done. So I just thank God for my daughter on tonight for the word of God.
God, is that all the praise reports?
I mean, all the remarks, not praise reports, but here's a praise report. But is that all the remarks?
Praise the Lord.
No more remarks.
This is Sister Magdalene's oldest daughter, Teresa. I just wanted to tell my sister that it was a beautiful word, and I'm so, so proud of her. And I thank God for what he's doing in her life. And for him to direct her to want to do this, to want to bring the word forth, which she'll be doing much, much more. She keeps saying no, but I see it happening. So I just want to say that I love you guys, and God bless you again for the word.
Praise God. I bless the Lord for that. Amen. We praise God for all the remarks, and truly I bless the Lord for you, my dear, and we, since the remarks are being made, we also give the speaker opportunity to have remarks as well, and then from that point on, then we are praying. If there is a request for tonight, we'll take it, but we're going to have prayer tomorrow, Monday night, and not less than something changes and the Lord change some things, but other than that, I just want you to go ahead and have some time where a moment where you can be able to share with us what's on your heart and whatever remarks you have, we will receive you now. Sister Catherine.
I don't have much to say. Just thank you for giving me the opportunity to give the word. And I was very nervous, so it could have been very fast, but it's my first time, so I was nervous. And thank God for my mom for just allowing me to, you know, just bounce ideas off of her, and just, you know, we went to the beach last weekend, and we were sitting out there by the pool. It was around 7 o'clock in the morning. We're out there by ourselves, and I was thinking the message was going to be another message, but then as I sat there, I could see the ocean and the waves, and I just heard the Lord say, "Jonah." Now, I didn't know a lot about Jonah, just what I said at the beginning. Most people think Jonah, the book of Jonah, is about the fish, but the fish is a very small part of the book. So I had to actually go and study because I didn't know what it was that the Lord wanted me to say to you guys about Jonah. So I had to read about it myself and talk about some things with my mom. And I just thank God for my mom being the type of person she is and raising me and my sister to believe in God. And she was always in church. Now, I was there with her. I might not always listen while I was younger, but I was there. And I know that, you know, through everything, we can always depend on the Lord, because I know being a single mom, she relied heavily on God to get us out of a lot of situations and to keep us, and she just kept praying for us. So if I know anything with my mom, she's a prayer, and she will make sure that me and my sister have everything that we need. So I just want to say, again, thank you for giving me the opportunity, and also for you always being there, Mother Hubbard, for my mom and giving her encouraging words. And I have seen her growth over the years and just being with you. So I thank all of you for, you know, supporting my mom and just lifting her up, because that helps her lift me and my sister up. Thank you.
Well, praise God, my sister. Praise the Lord. We love Mother McCormick. Dearly, we thank God from the trees, the fruit that's coming forth out of her vessel, out of her vessel that the Lord has blessed to come out of her loins. And as we continue to pray ye one for another, we build each other up. Praise God. So at this time, if there's any no more remarks, if there are any prayer requests, if not, we're just going to celebrate Jesus and give God glory for what all he did tonight, and just let it just marinate in our spirits. And those that are available to come on and intercede in prayer tomorrow, we're going to believe God for it. I know I don't see any other reason why I would not be on tomorrow, but if anything changes, I'll try to make in, some calls. But if not, we're going to look forward to bless the Lord, to those that are available, as we celebrate those people that have spent that time and given their lives and their and been on the wall for the military and those administrators, those behind the scenes, those other ones that are at this time, we're, you know, just giving that honor for those that are out there on the wall now that's serving our country and being the watchmen on the wall. That God bless and protect them and shield their families and keep them and provisions being made and some things turn around the laws that they can be able to be a more of a blessing to them and they'll get the provisions that they actually need for, because some of them are got the overflow and other ones over to God are lacking. So we just want to bless God and wisdom to our leaders of the country that they'll have wisdom and so forth about this, because these are lives that will be putting their lives on the line for our country and have done so far. And thanking the Lord for Mother Willette for her service of 20 years, my daughter for her few years in the Air Force, and you others that we know, and maybe some that have been on the line or however, we thank God for your services. In the meantime, is there any more any praise report or prayer request? If not, we're, like I said, we're going to go ahead and be released from the line and keep continuing to pray ye one for another. And we do pray for the army of the Lord, those military people in the military of the Lord that's on the wall, and that they stay and be encouraged, the wounded and those that's been hurting and going through naturally and spiritually, that the Lord will bless them too as well. Okay, then we're going to go ahead and there's all here, no response from anybody. We're going to say, we're going to praise the Lord and we're going to say good night. And I encourage you more, stay focused, my sister, and continue to let God use you. It's been a blessing, and you heard the report tonight, and even how the ministers of the gospel, these are some seasoned women that are in the Lord that were speaking to you tonight, so and their hearts have been touched that way. You continue to know that God is doing some things in you, and he want to do some things through you, and he have a work and a call on your life, and you've been known about it, but now it's time to step in that time, because like I say, time is short. Now, whatever we're going to do for the Lord, we need to be doing it and be diligent with it and hold fast the faith that he's going to be the leader and the guide. And if we let him, we're going to see marvelous and phenomenal things transpire. And as we join together, glory to God, in unity, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the body of Christ. So I encourage you to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Turbulent times, but see, we all have to grow in this. So you continue to be encouraged and know the greater one is on the inside to keep the joy and the peace in you. If you'll keep your mind steadfast on him, he'll give you, keep you in perfect peace. Through the Holy Spirit, there's power in his word, power in the anointing, power in the name of Jesus, power in the Holy Spirit. So be blessed. Father, we do thank you tonight and give you glory for all that you've done and what our ears have heard and what you're doing in the word in us, bringing awareness, bringing us to a place of fortifying, a determination to stay on the wall and encouragement, enlightenment. And if there's any repentance, we thank you for that too as well. Pray you continue to bless your servant, bless her mom, bless all the prayer warriors, bless the anointed vessels that you have placed and continue to bless on this wall and in this ministry and the ministries that they have, even in their ministries outside of divine connection and in their churches and their pastors and whatever. We're praying, God, that we be a people that will be truthful to you and walk in integrity, walk in truth, walk with our lights on the hill, not under a bushel, not, glory to God, a flashlight, not even a lightning bolt. Help us to be faithful to you, God, because great is our faithfulness. What an honor it is to be a part of the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Help us in our weakness, God, and help us to never think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Keep looking to the hills who's coming to our help, realizing it comes from you. And, God, no matter what the enemy is doing, help us to keep the faith, as Mother always say, praise God, know who you are. Help us to be faithful to you, God, in steadfastness in the faith. And we love you tonight, and we give you glory.
and keep us, God. We ask for your protection, and we thank God, glory to God, that you've given us power and authority, glory to God, to bind and loose the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we pray, glory to God, for victory, that we have overcome us and triumphant. We love you tonight, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Angels of the Lord, be in camp. We bind up an untimely death, sickness, and disease that will try to come up against us. We pray for those that are grieving, going through whatever the situation may be. God, you are the healer and the deliverer, and you are the comforter through the Holy Spirit, and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to say shalom, and God bless you.
Shalom.
Again.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen. Shalom.
Amen.
Great, awesome God. We love you. Praise God. Praise God.
We love you.